Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're looking forward to this segment of Let's Face the Issues. We're delighted to have you on board. In fact, we look forward to and invite your call-in, dialogue, and discussion. You can do that today by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Join in this dialogue and discussion, a very important discussion we're going to be having today. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind us, as I do each and every day on this broadcast, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He made that statement to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And so the emphasis that I like to make on this portion of the broadcast each day is that we are basing our discussion, the dialogue, on truth. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Scripture is not a book that happens to have a few little segments or a few little nuggets of truth in it. The Word of God is truth. From cover to cover, through Genesis through Revelation, it is the truth of the Word of God. It is God revealing himself to man. And the only way we'll know God better is to know God's Word better, because that's God revealing himself to us. And so when we think about facing the issues, we're talking about issues that we're all faced with in life. And so, ladies and gentlemen, today especially, when we look at what's happening up and down the eastern seaboard, when we recognize what is taking place with the mighty show of the power of God, and that's what it is. When we see hurricanes and tornadoes and differing what we call natural disasters, they're natural in that they are in control of God. It is not something that we need to think somehow, some way that the weatherman is in control, but it's God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk today about an issue that I believe would be beneficial, edifying, and helpful to our listening audience, and perhaps you could pass it on to those that perhaps are friends, relatives, and neighbors in the Northeast, up and down the eastern seaboard, that for the next 48 hours will be facing a major, major catastrophic event. I want to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen, safety in the storm. Safety in the storm. You see, for the next 48 hours, all of America will watch, we'll wait and wonder as the east coast of America is battered in the eye of the storm. What do you do? If you ponder this, we've right here in the first coast, we've had storms that we have watched, and some a few years ago, one just kind of spun around out there off the coast. Didn't know whether it was going to come on the coastline and affect us or not. Stayed there for days and days and days, and ultimately we had a result of it. We've had these storms year in and year out for the state of Florida and for the Gulf and now up and down the eastern seaboard. So, ladies and gentlemen, what do you do? How do you prepare physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually to face the monster storm that's called, what do they call it, Florence? I'm always amazed by the names they give these storms, but notwithstanding, we're facing the major impact of it. Each and every year, we're impacted by the ravages of hurricanes. as they impact our shores and destroy property and uproot lives. And that's not a simple thing, ladies and gentlemen. But I want us to understand that we do have a recourse. We do have a source to go to. We do have hope even in the midst of the storm. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps at no other time in life, in our all of life's experiences, do all of us sense our helplessness when we watch natural disasters take place. Tornadoes and hurricanes and major events like that strike our shores. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it antithetical to anything that's called supernatural or biblical or something from God. When even the Washington Post, in a, I don't know any other word to call it than goofy, article, stated that President Trump is responsible for the storm. Yeah, that you heard me right. The Washington Post, in an article, said that President Trump is responsible for the storm. I don't know how they calculate that. He is no more responsible for the storm than you are or I would be. But nevertheless, that's what the diatribe is today. Just this morning, my dear wife found an interesting, challenging, convicting article on Facebook. Now, the article, I do not know the author's name. It is authorless as far as I'm concerned, because in printing it out, there's nothing that shows the author's name. It was just a posting on Facebook, but I find it absolutely interesting, intriguing, and challenging. I don't know who wrote it, but it speaks volumes to us about being prepared for the storm, the ultimate storm. Let me just read you. It's elongated, so I want to tell you that this is from an unknown author, posted on Facebook, dealing with the storm, Hurricane Florence that is now about to enter the coast of North Carolina and South Carolina, up into Virginia, and then ultimately coming back down and encompassing most of Georgia. But this is what this writer said. I began. I had a moment this morning. The Holy Spirit broke my heart. In Trader Joe's, here in Raleigh, North Carolina, we're preparing for what could be a very devastating hurricane to make landfall on Thursday night, Hurricane Florence. I was in Target this morning, getting a few supplies to stock up for the storm. Water was gone, bread was sparse, the line snaked around the registers and down the center aisle of the store. The tension of those around me was with full carts of granola bars and diapers was beginning to creep up. I next went to Trader Joe's to finish all my shopping. The water was gone. The aisles were rapidly filling with people scrambling to figure out in their head what meals could be prepped with no electricity. As I stood in a very long line, overhearing the conversations of those who were already lucky enough to be converging on the cashiers, the one thing everyone was talking about in hurried, slightly panicked tones was the impending hurricane. The cashier would ask, "Are you prepared? Have you seen the latest Doppler report? Have you tried CVS or other places to find water? Are you going to be somewhere safe?" And then it hit me. As the lines around me got wider and deeper with people to check out with their emergency food stocks, my heart broke. As human beings with a degree of meteorological instruction and knowledge tells us that the storm is coming, we need to prepare. And what do? We take it seriously. We spring into action. We grab our checklist, dig out our batteries, battery baskets, scrambling to locate flashlights, fill up our gas tanks, propane tanks, and water jugs, and tune our TV to the weather channel and panic when we see Jim Cantore, or Cantore, I believe he's pronounced, show up on and on and on. We prepare more in 1 week to make sure our earthly bodies will be safe, protected, comfortable, just in case a hurricane passes through our town. Then we do an entire lifetime preparing for our souls to come before the Creator of the universe. Yes, the same one who made the hurricanes right there in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, one day We look at a chart and attempt to predict with pinpoint accuracy the moment the first breeze from hurricane will whisper on our doorsteps, all the while living in complete disregard for the fact that there is a much greater warning at stake for our lives here. Look, I'm coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book, Revelation 22, she quotes, or he. The very God who holds this storm in his hands has given us very specific instructions that his son is returning soon and that we need to prepare. And what do? We stand down. We see the brokenness around us and turn away. We see the incredible need for Jesus in our world and yet refuse to speak truth over those around us. And he or she, the writer of this article, look, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work, Revelation 22:12. The time is near, this article continues. We're so incredibly eager to strike up a conversation with perfect strangers in a checkout line over the coming storm and wish them good luck as they prepare, and yet are we even willing to speak the truth of the gospel into the loved ones around us who will face the same throne of God one day? We prep, we plan, we connect as soon as we see the storm coming our way. Yet God tells us very clearly in his word that we are to be preparing our souls and bringing those around us with us for the return of his son. If you turned on the news today, the reporter told you that Jesus was returning to earth on Thursday night, what would you do to prepare? Would you panic? Would you be prepared? Who would you tell? Who would you warn? What if we were as enthusiastic about spiritual preparation as we are about hurricane preparation? What if we had the same sense of urgency about making sure our friends knew about the good news of Jesus Christ as we do to check to make sure they were prepared for the storm? Yes, he is coming soon, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I just read you an article, a lengthy article that's posted on Facebook. My dear wife found that, sent it to me, and I printed it out to read for this broadcast today. And she's that person, that writer, he or she, is exactly right. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, safety in the storm. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The number that you can dial if you want to join in the dialogue and discussion is 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Ladies and gentlemen, we must recognize that Jesus Christ is the creator, controller of this whole world. He has our lives in his hands. We are never safer than to be on board with the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of a storm. And that reminds me of a great truth found in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is found in Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 35 through 41. May I read these verses? And as I read them, if you would be kind enough to listen carefully, because we want to go back and look at a few truths that I think would be applicable today as we think about the storm. And we talk about the subject safety in the midst of the storm. The scripture says in Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verse 35 and following, the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, that's Jesus speaking to his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. They're on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. They're about to go over to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him, even as he was, speaking of Jesus, into the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awakened him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any better text for us to think on and ponder on today in view of the approaching, oncoming hurricane. Perhaps you have friends, relatives, neighbors, or loved ones up in that part of the country. I have a son up in the eastern portion of Tennessee, have a son in Virginia, have family members right there in Columbia, South Carolina, and over in northeast Georgia, central part of Georgia on the eastern coast. So therefore, this has the potential of reaching each one of those that we are near to, dear to, and love. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, as we see this text, we see, first of all, the problem of the storm that is revealed here. The place is there on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus and his 12 disciples are leaving the west side to go to the east side of the Sea of Galilee as they continue to teach and to preach and to carry out the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's a peril that faces them, and that is in verse 37. And there arose a great storm, the scripture says, and the great storm of wind, the scripture calls it. So we see here, and let's just use the little parallel illustration of what's taking place in the storm that is off the shore now of the northern portion of North Carolina and is about to enter sometimes this afternoon, making landfall that will then be a devastating thing for the physical buildings and for the operation of the cities and the businesses, and some will have lives in peril and in danger. As we look at this text, I want us to understand, as we think about the situation with the storm today, that there can be safety in the midst of the storm. The scripture points out here that the wind is blowing. It says, a great storm of wind. The waves are beating, and the waves beat upon the ship, and the water is brimming coming into the ship. The scripture says, so that it is now full. Ladies and gentlemen, the picture is, here's Jesus and his disciples on board the ship. The winds are blowing, the waves are beating, the water is brimming over, coming into the ship, and it seems as though life is going to end. For these disciples on the ship in that day, this, by the way, again, let me remind you, is found in Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verse 35 through verse 41. But Jesus had put them in the boat. Jesus had put them in the boat to go to the other side. I want us to understand, here's Jesus, he's God. So the question we must ask, that begs to be asked and answered, did Jesus know that the storm was coming? Did Jesus know that he was going to place the disciples in the very midst of the storm, in the very midst of what we would call human frailty and human danger in the midst of that storm? Did he know that? I want us to understand that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the creator and controller of the universe. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, he knew that the storm was out there in the midst of the sea. Sure, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that. But you must then ask a second question. Why did he do this? Why did he put them in the boat? Why did he put them in the midst of harm? Why did he put them in the midst of the sea where there was the potentiality of danger and even destruction and death? What was the purpose behind that? He did so perhaps because he wanted to teach them to faith him. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand, in each of our lives, there are the potentialities of being in the midst of a storm, whether it's a physical storm, as the hurricane that we're talking about, or in the midst of a great problem or an issue that we're faced with in life. Oftentimes, God puts us in the midst of that because he wants to draw from us faith in Jesus Christ. He wants us to place our faith and trust in him, and not in the situation, not in the storm, not in the midst of the storm, but in Jesus Christ himself in the midst of the storm, that we're to faith him. But we see the problem of the storm revealed in verse 35, 36, and 37. But in verse 38, we see as a result of that, the panic of his servants recorded. Notice the problem in verse 38, and perhaps you don't have your Bible open. Let me read it to us again. Verse 38, the early portion of that verse, says, and he, speaking of Jesus, was asleep on a pillow. Here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen, that the disciples in their humanity, just as you and I in our humanity, the problems of the storm, when the storm faces us, when it seems that life is surely going to end as a result of the horrible danger that we're faced with, just as surely as the storm comes, somehow, some way, we are wondering, is this the end of life? Is this going to be death for us? And I'm sure his disciples face that same question in the midst of the storm. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ sleeping. Now, I want to ask a question. Does that mean that he is not concerned? Does that mean that somehow, some way, he is not paying attention? Does that mean that somehow, some way, the Lord Jesus Christ is still not in total, absolute control? Does that mean that he has, in some way, not going to be there to meet the need and to provide the safety and security that's needed for the disciples. That's not the case at all. But as we look at it from the human perspective, that was very easily what they had thought, very easily could have been what they felt. Here's Jesus, and the question is from his disciples, Jesus, we're about to die. Jesus, this storm is going to kill us. Aren't you listening? Aren't you present? Why aren't you awake? And they plead with him in that 38th verse. And they awaken him, that is, they awaken Jesus, and they say unto him, Master, that literally is teacher, controller, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The disciples are saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, aren't you concerned? Jesus, aren't you going to wake up and do something? Jesus, are you not concerned about, do you not care about the fact that we are in the lurch of major danger? Now, in the midst of the storm, ladies and gentlemen, it's easy for us to go to our physical, emotional sense of security and control, rather than faithing in God, placing our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what these disciples were doing. But in that 39th verse, we see a change. And he, speaking of Jesus, arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says, when his disciples awakened, I'm sure when they found Jesus asleep on the pillow, I'm sure they started shaking him in terror and in a sense of urgency. And the scripture says he arose, and literally that means he stood up. And as he stood up, he rebuked the wind and said the wind, and the wind ceased, and there was great calm. I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the next 48 hours, although from the northeast coast of Florida here, it will not affect us dramatically. We might get some residual from it. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face it, as we see what's happening in the next 48 hours, that's all you're going to see on television, here on radio so much, is the devastation that's taking place. What the meteorological world will leave out, we call them weather people, weather men and women, what they'll leave out is they'll be talking about the physicality. They'll be talking about the results of the storm, the hurrying danger, the destruction, et cetera, et cetera. They will not talk about the fact that Jesus Christ is God and we ought to be concerned about our relationship to him and place our faith and trust in him. But the scripture says here that Jesus arose and rebuked the wind. Jesus has power over the winds and the waves. He is the one that is in full control of this whole world. It's Jesus that's in full control of your life and my life. And in Christ, we need not have any fear. Now, I understand from the natural, from the physical standpoint, we're going to be concerned about things. We ought to be. We ought to try to protect our lives. We ought to try to do things that will be safe and secure. We should do things in preparation for a storm, boarding up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not discounting that at all. That's not my point. I'm not beyond the point of looking at rational reasoning. It's not an irrational statement when I say we need to place our faith and trust in Jesus. But he probes his disciples and asks them a question. And he, that is Jesus, said unto them, that is the disciples, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Ladies and gentlemen, there's a corollary to the story in Matthew's Gospel, the 8th chapter, verse 23 and following says, and when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was great calm. Ladies and gentlemen, in this text in Mark's Gospel, he said, why is it you have no faith? Matthew's Gospel, little faith. So what we see is the picture here. He's chiding his disciples for not having faith enough in him to believe that with Jesus Christ present, they were in total position of safety. The scripture says in this text, why are you so fearful? May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, remember, these are Jesus' disciples. They had watched the Lord Jesus Christ heal the sick, raise the dead, walk on water, cast out demons, and yet, may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, even as believers today, our faith can become so weak in the midst of the storm that we fail to allow Jesus Christ to control our thoughts and our attitudes in the midst of that storm. The storm in our lives, most of the time, the Lord Jesus allows there to strengthen our faith. Someone said on one occasion, if I had no problems, I'd never know that he could solve them. Someone else said, and I recall reading it years ago, as we are able to face the storm, we realize how inadequate we are and yet how totally adequate the Lord Jesus Christ is. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, in this 41st verse of Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, is the key to the vent of the storm in this text. It says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? The purpose, ladies and gentlemen, for the storms coming, the purpose for the hurricanes and the earthquakes, the typhoons, the tornadoes, and the major uncontrollable fires. May I tell you very succinctly and very carefully, the purpose is that we might fear God and honor him. You see, all of humanity, when we see these catastrophic events, these megastorms, we're caused to recognize and reflect on the fact that from a human perspective, we are helpless, we are hopeless, and there's no place to turn from the human standpoint except to turn to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They were rebuked because of their lack of faith. Jesus challenged them to greater faith. They were embarrassed. They cowered before him and expressed reverence and respect and submission unto him. Someone said on one occasion, what better position to be in a storm than to be in the ship with Jesus? And this is, ladies and gentlemen, safety in the storm. The greatest safety that you can have or that I can have is to be on board with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to notice two things in relationship to what is happening here. The end result of this storm that we're seeing in this biblical text today is that they worshiped Jesus and they witnessed for him. The scripture says, and they feared exceedingly. That means there was awe, reverence, and worship for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was then when Jesus said, peace be still, and they recognized his authority completely, that they worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the scripture said, and they said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They witnessed for him. Ladies and gentlemen, the end result of any storm in your life or in mine is that he wants us to worship him and witness him, turn our lives over to him, submit and surrender our lives under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Another very brief look at a text that I believe we need to use as kind of a wrap-up for this thought today. Matthew 14, 22 through 32. It's a story about Jesus and the other disciples being, it's a different event altogether, but it paints the same picture. Peter and the other disciples on board in the ship. The storm comes, and in fear for their lives, they look out across the storm-tossed sea, and they see Jesus walking on the water toward the ship. And Peter says, Lord, allow me, bid me to come to thee. And Jesus speaks one word to Simon Peter, says, come. And when Jesus Christ invited him to come, I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, Peter stepped over the side of the boat. He released the gunwales. He released everything that was safety and security, put his feet on the water, and started walking on the sea to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know we always praise him for that and look at that and talk about glory, glory. Look, Simon Peter's walking on the water. Can you imagine as he was walking on the water, perhaps he looked back at the other disciples and said, guys, look at me. I'm able to walk on water, as he was walking to Jesus. And then he looked at an unkind wave. He looked at the high, if you please, white caps on the water. And when he took his eyes off Jesus, scripture says he began to sink. And as he's sinking, he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus, the next text, next scripture, the next verse says, and back on board the ship, Jesus Christ was present. And the Lord Jesus Christ was present on that ship with Simon Peter. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that there's a lot of folks that say, well, how did Peter get back on the boat? Either one of two ways. Either he walked on the water back to the boat, or Jesus carried him in his arms, and either way is sufficient for me. But the key that I want us to wrap up with is the 11th verse of that 24th chapter of Matthew, the 33rd verse. The scripture says, then they were in the ship, came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you can go to each of the situations in the scripture. In the midst of a storm, the purpose of the storm in the lives of the disciples was always, always, always to get the disciples to faith Jesus, to follow Jesus, to worship Jesus, and to witness for him. May that be that end result in our lives as we face this storm. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.